Thank everybody for sticking around. This is entitled The Cotton Economics and Marketing Session, Wednesday late afternoon. So I'm going to have to agree with that. The other point I wanted to make was that this is the economics and marketing group, and we're going to deviate a little bit more from what's been basically done prior to this and talk a little bit about marketing and take perhaps more a longer view and a more sort of 50,000 foot view of what are some of the factors that may affect the future of the cotton industry here in the United States that will further impact and should be considered in all the modeling and all the sorts of programs and research that's been presented here before. I think we need to start thinking about the future a little bit different than what we've done. We've been focused, and I've certainly done it myself, on the production side, the competition of bale for bale, cost of production. This is sort of the end of the road for us, and I want to acknowledge the support of the cotton industry in particular in our research program out in California. We worked quite a bit early on doing cost of production comparisons across major competitors. If you remember last year, I was here talking about a survey of smaller cotton producing exporting countries. We took a look at some of the competition from those emerging producing countries. And where we ended up last year was we really left with a comment from Adam and Mark, who are guys that work in the industry in Australia and here in the U.S., where they have teamed up to try to promote cotton and the benefits of natural products, really recognizing what I'm going to talk about, and that is this headwind of the synthetic fibers industry that's really highly competitive and affecting the global market. And what they ended up saying is what guided us into this next sort of go-round, and that's that the U.S. cotton farmer's competition is not the Australian cotton farmer, is not the Brazilian farmer, not the Pakistani farmer. It's a synthetic fiber producer. So if we think about cotton in a context of a fiber industry rather than an agricultural commodity complex, I think we take on a different set of issues that have to be looked at differently. So we've got marketing issues here that we want to bring the economics to. So what we tried to do was look at competition from the synthetic fibers and its impact on the future of cotton from a sort of framework that's common to marketing studies, the Porter framework. It's based on an IO structure, conduct, performance paradigm. It's much different from looking at things and trying to make an econometric model. But I think I was talking to John earlier. I think if you look at what we come up with here, it just screams out for econometric frameworks and some further research. So hopefully people will pick up on that and move forward with it. We looked at in the Porter framework, five forces that apply to the cotton sector: the threat from major cotton exporters such as India and Brazil, which we talked about earlier; the threat from the new entrants, which we talked about last year, like West Africa and Central Asian countries; the threat from substitute cotton, which we're going to talk about today; and then there's the buying power of buyers like China, which has been alluded to today, the giant stocks that they've accumulated in the way that they basically are whipsawing the market or have the ability to do that if they wish. And then the bargaining power of the supplier of inputs to the cotton industry as well. And those are two areas that we probably will continue to pursue after we do a little more work in this area. So if you put it in the context of the five forces diagram, this is really how it all sorts of kind of comes together optically or visually. And what we're doing is taking a look at that one block, the threat of substitute products and services. And here's basically the story. If you look at world production of cotton and man-made fibers, cotton relative to man-made fibers is a small part of it. A lot of folks, I think, we focus so much on the cotton side of the business, we don't look at it in a systematic view. And man-made fibers have slowly creeped up to take over a huge portion of the textile and apparel industry. To the extent that the cotton share of total fiber consumption has declined over time and continues to decline over time. It's sort of stabled out, as somebody was showing earlier, but if you look longer, if you look, take a little bit of a worldview and look a little bit futuristic at it, I think you come to the same conclusions we do. What are we talking about? We're talking about the composition of man-made fibers that includes polyesters, nylon, acrylics, and cellulosic fibers. If you look at the composition of these man-made fibers, polyester is, again, the big player in the room, much larger in terms of composition as relative to the others. But again, that's changing as well, particularly in the one that I can't pronounce, the cellulosic fibers. If you look at polyester, the rate of growth has been about 7% a year over the last 5 years. Major growth is occurring in Asia, China, Korea, and India. Why is that important? Because that's where all the people and all the money is. If you look at the projections of the World Bank, you look at the growth in the consumption, and you look at the growth in middle-income consumers, that's where it's going to be in the future. To some extent, it's anybody's guess, but they're saying an expected growth of 6% a year through 2025. The ability to use recycled materials is going to be an attractive part of it, increasing the competition for cotton. Technological advancement, low raw materials costs are also important factors. When you look at all of these alternatives, that last bullet point really drives home what is one of our issues, and that's technological advances and low raw material costs are really important. It's driving down the price of these individual components. And if you talk to cotton producers I know about, it's just too expensive to produce 60-cent cotton, so they're going the opposite way. Applications. Pretty much everything that you make out of cotton, you can make out of these things, and you do. There's overcapacity in the industry, which is, if you're thinking about a growth rate of 10% over the next X number of years, probably not a bad thing. Most of that expansion's been in new plants in China, Korea, and India, where the new growth is expected to take place. 3 million metric ton capacity increments in China alone during 2014. And capacity utilization is at about 70%, so there's a lot of room for growth. If you look at nylon, consumption of nylon grew in 2013 due to increased demand in the Chinese market. Stop me if you heard that word before. Everything I'm going to say is because of increased consumption in the Chinese market or increased consumption in the Indian market or the Asian market. Higher nylon prices are mitigating some of that growth, but at the same time, it's pretty much projected to be a steady growth of about 1 to 2% annual. Acrylic fibers, again, they have a lot of properties that are just being examined in terms of the ability to filtrate water and other substances. It's a relatively good substitute for wool. Again, annual growth rates, not large, but steady. Cellulosic is the one that I think the growth is going to be more dynamic than some folks think. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they can market this stuff, which is produced out of fibers from trees, for example, and it really plays into the new eco markets that we see for apparel and textiles. The idea that you can take this renewable source of product, change it into a product that can be as used for things as delicate and important to us as diapers for our children, as opposed to where I grew up with cotton diapers and diaper services, or my mother's services with the diapers. If you have any new mothers in the audience, or one of the reasons I'm here is because Serini, the person that did most of this work, has a newborn, and I don't believe they're doing the cotton diaper service anymore. So, I mean, we've got, it's a a situation where we're getting bombarded on all sides by opportunities for marketing as well as low prices and inputs. This is just another example of that. This is a synthetic green fiber, the EcoSpun line coats that you'll see in the Sierra Club or Patagonia, for example. The polymer origins that hot eco-friendly fabrics like that are made from corn and soy, from soybeans, or manufactured from plant proteins. Again, you've got this slow drumbeat of how green and eco-friendly these synthetic fibers are, as opposed to the image of some evil guy stirring a vat of chemicals and making synthetic fibers. Spandex is another one I wish they had never invented, because there should be people that can't wear it, myself included. But it's growing again. There's new capacity being installed in Vietnam, Turkey. The activewear segment, I said this last year, I think, and you go in and you look for a golf shirt today and you won't see cotton golf shirts. You see shirts that are made out of wiki whatever, and that's not uncommon in hunting clothing and just about everything we do in terms of activewear. It's fast drying, it doesn't wrinkle, et cetera, et cetera. Again, the regional production is concentrated in Asia. If you look at just the relative prices, you'll notice that they're lower and they're decreasing over time. They continue to hold an advantage over cotton. These are just some charts that I'll go through quickly because time's running out. But if you look at the producer price of the textiles and apparel, the synthetic fibers versus those that are cotton-based, generally they're lower. I think the spike in 2011 may have had a very detrimental effect in terms of the long-term pattern that we're seeing. But again, that's the sort of thing that we can look at in econometrics instead of. But this sort of analysis, I think, brings those questions out that need to be further looked at. If you break it down a little bit better, producer price index on artificial fibers and filaments relative to cotton, you see sort of the same pattern. I think this is an interesting one. This is cotton prices in local currency terms. And you look at China, India, and Pakistan. Cotton stayed fairly constant to a little bit of a decline over in 14. But if you look at polyester prices in local currency terms, they continue to fall. So that competition just continues to hammer you on all sides. And if you look at the people who sort of are in the business of really looking at this stuff, and you look at their projections for man-made fiber demand into the future of 2020, it's not an encouraging chart, to be honest. So I think the industry in general is challenged by the synthetic fiber industry in a larger context of this system of apparel, and I think it's something that we need to start to incorporate more clearly in our thinking. What can we do? Some sort of strategic thinking comes out of this sort of analysis, and I think the options start with trying to deliver innovations in cotton, new ideas, new products, new technology, which I think we're working on. I think that's where the industry is trying to move at a rapid pace. You think about scope for increasing per capita consumption. If you could get the developing countries on par with developed countries. I mean, I grew up in the rice community, and there was always this, if you could just get people to eat one more bowl of rice, wouldn't we all be okay? Well, it's sort of the same idea. If we can just figure out a way to get people on par with what we're doing. The global population is going to be rising. Their purchasing power is going to be rising. It's going to be rising in the Asian areas. So, how do we meet their cotton needs and instill that cotton need in the marketing of the apparel that we're trying to push in use. Denim, always a potential in developing countries, always an area where we can, I think, capture market. Overcoming the weaknesses of cotton relative to these alternative apparels is a long time problem that we're going to have to overcome. They just do things a lot easier and better. We're going to have to focus more on customer service, I think, value added in terms of the service of the particular country involved, trying to be more and better marketers in terms of the attribute sales that we attribute to our product, as well as the personal side of the business. So with that, my time's up, and I'll take any questions or comments, but just appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. Anybody?
Any questions?
Just a general question. You know, Platinum continues to need to prove that we're sustainable.
Yeah.
Incorporating big efforts into that, which we believe is going to have. And why would you suspicion the most unsustainable thing there is synthetic? You put that in Atlanta, other states, there, Illinois. Why is cotton singled out in suspicion to prove itself to be sustainable? When you don't look at any of the other synthetic apparel products that they have to prove up there, there are other similar sweeping.
That's a good question. It's a little bit like, why do they look at cotton as the reason for the drought in the West? It's a curious question. I mean, it is the natural fiber, the fiber of our lives, right? In terms of how does the industry, the synthetic industry, move in that direction? I think the ad with the baby and the recyclable nature of the cellulosics is one way they do it. I think in terms of the recyclability of these things, so that you're not going to the landfill anymore, that sort of stuff.
Anybody spend they want, then you can recycle that. But whatever you turn it into, it ends up there.
But Mark, they do put any spin they want to on it. And I think that's my issue, is that in this world that I'm becoming more familiar with, we need to do a better job of spinning it. We know what our story is. We know what the truth that we see is, but how we market that and how we do it, I think we got to be better at it.
I think
it's go ahead, Darren.
I think that a lot of the impetus for that stuff started when commodity prices were relatively high.
Yeah.
And so there became this sort of land use argument of, well, we can make the synthetic.
Right.
We've got cotton, you know, that we could devote to food production.
Sorry.
Which nobody really understands. Global food production, and
right.
Food security, anyway. But now, in a time of low commodity prices, I'm not sure that story carries as much water. But we all know how the president does, and it'll perpetuate that story for a long period of time. But they'll spend it however they want to,
And they're good at it.
And they're good at it.
The thing that I promote, and I haven't gotten a whole lot of takers on it, is that for a long time in the international work I've done, we've sort of marketed U.S. cotton as a specialty crop, especially in the sense that it's graded, it's high quality, it's the preferred cotton that you want to blend with the bad cotton, yada, yada, yada. I think we're getting to a point now where we're going to have to sell cotton as a specialty crop. And back in the day, fine cotton was a specialty crop. Maybe all cotton's going to move that way. And that's not a bad thing. We're producing less of it. We're probably never going to go back to the levels that we were. Maybe what we need to do is market it as a very special blend of cotton that's unique to the U.S. and move forward with it. So.
Well, you just have thought, but it's sort of an interesting question that, you know, you put up the graph of the declining share of cotton in coal fiber.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a broader question, but that trend's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we consuming less fiber, natural or cotton, than the share of total fiber? Is it relative price differential? Because that really is the root of the problem, ultimately, is that consumers are buying less cotton.
Exactly.
As a share of their total fiber consumption.
And I mean, my...
My
idea is that it's relative prices, right? And you've got an industry, or you've got a whole part of the world that needs clothing and apparel, and they turn to the least cost alternative. But that's something that, like I said earlier, I think a lot of this calls out for further investigation, and that's the sort of thing that we need to look at as economists, is how do we answer that question with some certainty? That might be a good place to leave. Thanks, everybody.